Friends, my name is Johan. I'm the lead pastor of this church. For some of you don't know, you're very, very welcome this morning. And if you're a guest with us, we want to give you a welcome pack, just a little bit of information about who we are and the journey that God's called us on here in Belfast and in the nation. So fill out that information so we can also stay in contact with you and just update you of what's happening here at Every Nation Belfast. Well, I'm super excited this morning to start a brand new series that we have entitled The Art of Loving Well. Now, this series is all about love. How many of you are ready for a bit of an upgrade in your love? All right, so God has called us to be lovers, to become better lovers. And I'm really excited to share with you some truths during this series. And that because we're all learning it's a skill. That's why it's called the art of loving well. And art is something, it's a gift that we get. And how many of you know that as you receive the gift, we need to develop that gift. That gift needs to grow. And so it is a skill. And so we're going to really believe God that, you know, your relational climate is going to change. You know, God has put us in many, we've got relationships with our spouses, if you're married, and you've got relationship at your workplace. But I really believe that God wants to change your relational climate. And I'm really going to just unpack that a little bit this morning. But as I was preparing, you know, and just praying about this series, and I just wrote down, because this is some of the things, you know, I don't know about you, when you go into your time of prayer, you got to go prepared. And so you just got to take a notepad or pen, because be ready, because God is speaking. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but if you get over 40, you forget stuff, okay? So, you know, you need to write down what God has said. And so, and I wrote this down, you know, and because I believe God's saying here, I'm changing the relational climate over your city and your nation. I'm not just changing the relational climate, but also removing the racial barriers and tension that have been erected to divide communities and families. God is saying, my desire is to bring change through you and through my church. I'm going to change the relational climate and atmosphere in the city, and I will do it by my spirit, says the Lord. How many of you are ready for change? How many of you believe we need to see change in our city? We need to see it because there's a relational problem, friends, that we see around the world. Relational divisions between nations. Marriage breakdown. There's a problem here. And I believe God wants to address this problem, but he's calling us to be part of that. And that is exciting. And as many of you know that as a church, we are called here to be bridge builders and unifiers in the city, because we live in a divided city. And I believe that it says in scripture that foreigners will rebuild the ancient ruins. Okay, that was broken and destroyed many, many years ago and centuries ago. God is calling us to be part of that rebuilding process. And so I'm going to use, this is a book that was written by a good friend of mine, a mentor of over 20 years, Pastor Wolfgang Eglibin, and he wrote a book called The Art of Loving Well. Friends, I've got some copies on the table there. I want you really to pick up a copy and really get through, because I've been reading this book, and there's just so much that I need to apply to my life. Okay, as I always say, we're work in progress. We're under construction, and so God wants to teach us some new things and how to become better lovers, to really love well. And so I've entitled this message, the first one here, Change Your Relational Climate. Changing your relational climate. You know, friends, there's a lot of, I don't know if you've noticed in the media right now, there's a lot of they're mentioning a lot about global warming. How many of you have seen all over Sky News and, you know, articles, a lot of things have been written about global warming. You know, and so many will claim that a lot of things are currently affecting our climate. Now, I don't know if you are a green campaigner. I'm not a green campaigner, although I do my part, you know, to really save the environment or contribute to the environment. I have about 10 barbecues. I used to have 20, so I've cut it down to about 10 in a year, and just to do my part in the ozone layer, and recycling and all those things. Okay. But friends, I believe there's a greater problem in this world right now than global warming. And I want to suggest that there is a global cooling problem. A global cooling problem. And what do I mean with this is we have a global cooling problem in the world. And this is what Matthew 24, if we read, if you've got your Bibles here, I want you to open up. And this is what Jesus famously quoted here in Matthew 24, verse 10 to 12. And it says here, "And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." Verse 12. "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Friends, I believe this is what's happening in the world right now. That the love of many is growing cold. We are living in a day and age where many people's love has grown cold due to perpetual offenses and betrayals. This is what it says. This is what Jesus said, what he quoted. That he warned us about this day, that in our life that we will be betrayed, we will be offended. And so there's always the enemy that's trying to work against something that is together, that is in unity. And so, what I believe that there's a global cooling problem. And I believe that the climate that you are in determines whether you will flourish or produce fruit. Now, like I said, we all have relational climates, okay? So when you go to work, you're walking into a relational climate. Your relationship with your boss or your supervisor. And then you have, when you get to your home, you have a relational climate at your home. When you get there, there's relationship between your children and your husband and wife. So, this is something that God wants to change. He wants to change our relational climate. Because His desire is that we will flourish, friends. Our relationships will flourish. I was just in South Africa earlier this year, and on my way back at the airport, at the departure lounge, I walked into a shop, and I saw this little bag that had seed in it, and it was seed of a flower called a protea. How many of you know what a protea? Have you ever seen a protea? Let me just show you this beautiful flower. Now, this flower is just amazing flower that that it really flourishes in a sunny climate. Okay, it's found at its Table Mountain there at the back, and it just needs a lot of sunshine, you know. And so, and I was walked into this shop because I love, and when I saw this, I'm like, man, I love proteas. Okay, it's what our Springbok rugby team wear on their chest, and our cricket team. So it's a very precious a flower to our nation. So I thought, listen, I'm going to pick up a packet and I'm going to take this with me. And then I realized that my destination is not the south of France. I was heading to Belfast. And so what this flower needs is dry soil. You know, this is some facts about a protea. A protea is a resilient flower that flourishes in a sunny conditions and locations, and where the air circulates freely around the plant. They thrive in well-drained, dry, rocky soils. Okay, so we don't have some dry soil here in this land. And so I was a bit disappointed. You know, and so flowers, this flower, friend, flourishes in the right climate. It has to be planted in the right place, the right position. It needs to get a lot of sunshine for it to flourish. For a plant to grow and reach its full potential, it's important that it is in the right environment. So friends, in the same way we have every relational environment has a climate. I want to ask you, what does your relational climates look like at this moment or feel? You know, God's given us the ability to feel. And so we have relationship with people. What does that climate look like right now? You know, at your workplace, what does that look like right now? The relational climate that we choose to live in will determine whether your life will flourish or produce fruit and determine what your future relationships will be like. Friends, this will determine whether your life will flourish or not. You know, we have the opportunity. God has given us free will. And we got to make some choices in relationships. Sometimes, you know, that relational environment at your workplace is to such a place that, you know, you think, you know, obviously God has called you to play your part there. But sometimes you just need to walk away. Some of us need to walk away from some relationships that you're in. And so that is what God desires, is that this relational environments will flourish, that we can change the atmosphere. Friends, and I believe one of the things that God has called us to do is to love. This word love is so mentioned so many places in Scripture, because God is love. From the beginning, from Genesis to Revelation, it's all about love. It's a love story right through. And I believe that love is the ideal climate in which relationships can flourish. It's the ideal climate. I don't know for you here this morning if you have experienced that love that is that offer from God. He said God is love. That is what He offers. That is what He gives. That is what He, it's just, so God loved the world that He gave His only Son. It's out of love. It was the motive. That was the core, the essence. It came from Him. This is what was given to us through love, was Jesus. Friends, I believe if your love grows, everything else will grow. And that's why it's so important that we grow in this area of love. That we know how to give love, but also receive. You know what? We cannot give something that we have not received. This is so important that we understand, you know, the true heart of the Father. I want to read with you for in the description, Philippians 1 verse 9. And this is a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church of Philippi. And this is from, he was writing this letter, interesting enough, from a position in prison, where he was imprisoned. And I believe it was a cool environment, okay? It was not the most relational condition to be in. You know, there's a lot of things that God has obviously revealed to him in that place, in prison. But it was a cool relational climate in that place. And this is what he wrote. This is his prayer, Philippians 1 verse 9. So this is my prayer, that your love will flourish and that you will not only love, but well. Learn to love appropriately. You need to use your head and test your feelings so that your love is sincere and intelligent, not sentimental gush. Live a lover's life. Circumspect and exemplary, a life Jesus will be proud of, bountiful in fruits from the soul, making Jesus Christ attractive to all, getting everyone involved in the glory and praise of our God. So friends, here's Paul, the Apostle Paul, addressing a cooling problem. There was a cooling problem. And as Paul has started this church, this church started with two of the fundamental beliefs and values in Christianity and Judaism, was to love your God with all your heart and love your neighbor. And those are the things that they had to keep at the front of it. That's obviously keeping God at the center, Jesus at the center, but in some way they have deviated. Somehow they have lost this focus. And so this is Paul's prayer. He said, I want you to get this. I want you to flourish. I want you to love well. Because this is what he says, that your love will flourish, that first part. What does that mean, to flourish? It means that something is growing or developing in a healthy and vigorous way, especially as the result of a particularly favorable environment. This is the definition here from the Oxford. To flourish means that something is growing and developing in a healthy and vigorous way. That is Paul's desire, friends. When he looked at the church and said, church, I want you to love well. Get this. This is so important. This is the most important. Before you do all these things, before you go on these missions and have all these events. I'm not sure if they had a global cafe or, you know, they had a lot of things happening and kids' church and all those things that was taking place. They had maybe a hosting team. I don't know. But he said, friends, before you do all these things, make sure that you understand this love and that you will love, because I want this church to flourish. This is the way you're going to flourish. And it also means to abound, to flourish. It also means to abound, to increase and overflow, to exceed by going beyond expected measure. So friends, he's saying here, as you receive this love, I want you to share this with others. One of the reasons we are not flourishing in life is because our relational climate is wrong. And I believe that your ability to love well sets your relational climate. So friends, we have a cooling problem. And even as I share this morning, think about your relationships. Think about the relationships that you have between you and your father or your mother or your brother. So as God calls us, as he called the early church, to say, love God with all your heart and then love your neighbor. And also goes on to say, love your enemy. Friends, this is what he's calling us to do as a church. This is how we're going to make a difference. This is how we're going to change the atmosphere. This is how we're going to change the relational climate in this city. It's when we apply what is in scripture here. And we say, Lord, we make this. This is going to be some of the fundamentals in our faith. Paul's letter and prayer clearly is that love shall not only primarily fill the heart, but also overflow in secondary influence. As we receive, it will flow out of us. And I really believe this is where we need an encounter with Jesus. This is what I'm praying for. And I just love how just the stories of how people are just encountering the love of God, the reckless love of God. This is what we've been hearing this morning. People all around the Middle East and different nations are still encountering Jesus, this love of God. I love just when somebody comes to know God and they come to, you know, just share about their experience. I always ask them, you know, what? How did it change your life? And through that testimony, always I've just experienced this love, this peace. And that is what God brings. That's what he offers to us. When love isn't as it should be, then most of life isn't what it could be. Friends, this is just where we can grow. When love isn't as it should be, then most of life isn't what it could be. This is where we just got to come in before God and sometimes just honestly do a self-assessment, just raise a self-awareness. How am I doing with my love? Am I loving well? How am I treating other people? The importance of self-awareness and assessing your current climate. Because I believe that you can set the climate. You can set the temperature in your home. That's the responsibility God has given us. As we live our lives, as a father, my responsibility is to set that climate in our house. What type of environment do I want to live in? Because I cannot flourish in that environment. And so I've got to be very, like, as a family, you know, the way we treat each other, the way we communicate with each other. That's what my kids pick up. They watch me. And obviously I want to practice what I preach. And so setting that environment in my home is very important. And so we look at ourselves and for a moment and say, you know, Lord, how am I doing? Let's evaluate our own love life. And the first thing is become aware of how others experience you. How does other people experience you? Sometimes it's good just to hear. You know, just times where my wife would just sit down with me and just say, hey, you know, when you said this, you know, when you did, you know, that is important, friends. Become aware of how others experience you. Are you willing to receive some from others and what they say and what, because it's important. Because we all have blind spots, right? We have blind spot in relationship. It's messy. How many of you realize that relationships are messy? We can really rub each other up in the wrong way and say things. And because this is what the scripture says. If we go back to Matthew, the betrayal, the offenses, perpetual offenses is taking place. And so the second part is, become more deeply aware of the climate inside of you. I want to encourage you in the season of your life, just become more deeply aware of the climate that is inside of you. What do you bring? What do you add? How do others experience you? It's important. Here's a couple of things. How do others experience you? Are you a builder? Do you build people up? Do you encourage them? Do you have something positive to add? Or is it just negativity? This is what you bring. This is how you can set the climate. The second one, are you a breaker? You know, there's two types of people. You can be a builder or breaker, or break people down. Always point out the negativity and the things that they do wrong. At work, you know, when you go with that type of attitude, you can go in and it's like, hey, listen, I can change the climate here. And the third one, are you boring? You know, what I mean with that is a boring person is a person that just passes by and does nothing to the environment. Okay, so you can just be boring and not add to the environment and say, hey, it's not my problem. It's not my issue. Or can you be that person that can actually add something? I say you can either be a thermometer or a thermostat. Those are two different things, two different purposes. A person can either be a thermometer or a thermostat. A thermometer will tell you what the temperature is. And a thermostat will not only tell you what the temperature is, but it will also change the temperature. Friends, we are called to change the temperature in this city. We are called to change the spiritual, the relational climate in this city. Which one are you? Which one are you? And I believe that change starts with you. You know, sometimes we look at other persons like, oh Lord, that person's got to change. But sometimes it starts with you. And so God is calling us to not just examine ourselves and just come to that place and say, Lord, change me. Change me. I want to encounter your love. Change my heart. Change my attitude. As you heard me say before, your attitude will determine your altitude. Yeah? It will determine how far and how high you're going to go. If you've got a bad attitude, you're not going to go far in life. And so those are the things that we need to look at. They say the greatest room in the house is the room for improvement. There's improvement. We can all improve. We can all become better. Like I said, there's the art of loving well. It's a skill. And so we got to develop this skill and say, hey, how can I become better at relationally and my communication? So we're going to look in this series about just the art of communicating well, engaging well, and, you know, forgiving well. So we're going to really just explore some of these important points that we need to look at and apply to our lives. So the reason we can't love well is because we have not received the well of the Father's love. It's the well of the Father's love. It's an endless well. It will never dry, go empty. It's God is always giving. I always say heaven's always open. There's not a tap in heaven that's now switched off. And that's enough for you today. No, we live in an atmosphere. I can just imagine what heaven's going to be like. It's a constantly consuming, drinking, receiving, worshiping. And so friends, that's what God wants to give you. He wants to give you a revelation of His love. I believe you will rarely apply in your life what you have not received or have a revelation of. I'm going to say that again. You will rarely apply in your life what you have not received or have a revelation of. And it's so important that we get this revelation of who God is and what He gives to us. I want us just to watch a little video clip this morning. Because this is somebody that has got a revelation of who God is and what God has done in his life. This is someone that has encountered the love of God. Remember what I said, you cannot give what you've not received. Now this guy has received more than a double dose of God's love. And this is why he can give. Watch this video.
I don't want to say twice or for the 100th time what you've or how much you've taken from us. I think you know that. But I just I hope you go to God with all the guilt, the bad things you may have done in the past. Each and every one of us may have done something that we're not supposed to do. If you truly are sorry, I know I can speak for myself. I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask Him, He will forgive you. And I don't think anyone could say it. Again, I'm speaking for myself, not even behalf of my family. But I love you just like anyone else. And I'm not going to say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't gonna ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I'm not going to say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them would want you to do. Again, I love you as a person. And I don't wish anything bad Are you? I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
I don't know if you guys know this story, but this situation is that that lady killed that guy's brother. And so it is amazing in situations like this how you respond. You can either respond or react, but in that moment, the way he responded was with maturity and a lot of grace, a lot of love. That is supernatural. I think, friends, in our lives, it's the same thing as we get a revelation of how much we have been forgiven and how much we loved. We can give that to others. And this was just a moment that I believe has impacted so many people. I mean, this video clip is just shown all around the world at the moment. Just recently happened. But this is just a young man that just got a revelation of the love of God, that this woman that even is a murderer, God loves her. And so he's doing exactly, love your neighbor, love your enemy. And I just love that, just how he just changed the climate right there in that place. And it was so cool. I just saw a clip yesterday as well about the judge that decided that she's going to give this woman a Bible. I don't know if that's allowed in many countries, but she just went over and said, look, I want to give you this Bible. Read this. Read this love story. Not this. But you can read this as well. But I just love how God extends his love through people that is just willing, open. And I just want to share this. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said this. We must discover the power of love. The power, the redemptive power of love. Even when we do that, we will make of this whole world a new world. But love is the only way. Friends, let's be committed to cultivate that Jesus-loving culture in our church, not just in our church, in our lives. I've heard a story of my friend. You know, he was in India. He does a lot of work there and just amazing stories of what God is doing there. But he mentioned to me, you know, he was ministering to this one girl and this woman had a demon in her. She was demon possessed. She was shouting and, you know, and he just started to pray for her and like, you know, they prayed, but nothing happened. And he just felt such compassion, such love for this lady that shouted and cussed and, you know, and was hitting him. And all he felt at that moment is that he should start singing over her. And I love this song that he started singing. By third day, your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. And he just started singing this over her. And then he came to a point where he just hugged her. And friends, this demon just went out of her. She got delivered that day. Because she encountered the authentic, reckless love of God. The unconditional love of God was poured on her, in her, in that moment. And that demon left her. Because it says in scripture that what? Perfect love will cast out fear. It has the power, it has the ability to cast out demons. It casts out fear. It changes. It's a powerful force. It has the ability to transform lives, cities, and nations. And I really just pray, friends, as we get hold of this and asking God, Lord, what is my position? What do you want me to do? I really believe there's a not just a relational climate problem, cooling problem, but I believe also there's a racial cooling problem in our city. And I believe God wants us to address that. And this is how we're going to do it, through being the lovers that God's called us to be. And so I just want to end off with this, and you know, practically, you know, say to me, Johan, how can I just apply this to my life? I want to become a better lover. First and foremost, let Jesus be the lover of your soul. Give him permission. Give him access. Let the Holy Spirit come and fill you with the Father's love. And then this is found in 1 Corinthians. Many of you have been to weddings. I've done a wedding earlier this year. I love weddings, by the way. And so you've probably heard this scripture mentioned at a wedding before. 1 Corinthians 13. It's the book, the chapter of love. Okay, so this is what it says. It says, so no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Okay, and I love the Message translation. I want to encourage you to read different translations. Okay. Let's not get it religious about just one translation. This is a good, I love the word and the way it's expressed here. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for yourself. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Doesn't have a swelled head. Doesn't force itself on others. It's always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best. Love never looks back. Love, but keeps going to the end. And friends, you can almost take that was written and put your name in the front there. Johan, it says here, Johan, love never gives up. Anthony cares more for others than for self. Lynn, love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. And so you can put your name in there and just kind of evaluate, how are you doing with this? Let's get practical. Let's do, you know, this is what he says in scripture. Do not be simply be hearers of the word, but be doers. There's an outworking. You know, we can become so intellectual and what we know, but I believe there's an outworking. As we encounter Jesus in these scriptures, let's apply this to our life and let's make a difference, friends. Just stand with me and we're just going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning just for our time together. Father, we thank you, Father, that you love us first. I thank you for your amazing love that you give so freely. Father, you are love. And we just open our hearts to that love. Just where you're standing right now, say, Lord, I'm open. I'm opening my heart. And maybe in a way, just open your hands. Just receive. Just receive this baptism of love this morning. As God just wants to fill you. He wants to minister to you. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for these hearts. Father, we thank you that love changes everything. Love has the ability to break open things and cast things out. And I just pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, as you release your love in this place, that you will cast out fear in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you will cast out insecurity, that I pray for wholeness in people's hearts and in their lives, Lord. We know, Lord, there is a cooling problem in this world. And Lord, you are calling us as your church to address this cooling problem. Lord, as we've received the warmth of your love, thank you that we can represent you. Thank you that we can make a difference, that you're calling us to be different. And Lord, as we go into places where, Father, people are struggling, Lord, where climates are very cool and cold, Lord, we pray that you'll help us to be that thermostat that just radiates your love and your warmth, Lord God, your agape love. Lord, we thank you as we receive that we can give. And I just pray that this week, Lord, that you will use us in Jesus' name. Lord, even as we examine ourselves, our own hearts, and look at, Father, where we need to change, Lord. And maybe it's our attitude. Maybe it's just things that as Father just come and settled on us. And Father, we just pray that you remove that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, even as we've seen that young man extend this amazing love, Father, to a person that has killed his own brother. God, that's supernatural. But Lord, I pray that you'll help us to love the unlovables. Help us to love our enemies. Help us to love, Father, those who have offended us and persecuted us and betrayed us, Lord God. Help us, Lord. Give us grace in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for just working in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to love well. Help us to develop the skill. In Jesus' name, amen.